What Saith the Scripture? A ministry of Orlando Bible Church, 4505 East Colonial Drive, Orlando, where Scott Letzring is the pastor. Orlando Bible Church is in need of your support to keep this ministry thriving. Send your contribution to Orlando Bible Church, 4505 East Colonial Drive, Orlando, 32803. If you are searching for a church home, come worship with us tomorrow. Sunday Bible School begins at 9:45 in the morning. Worship at 11 a.m. Or for more information on what we believe, you can go online to OrlandoBibleChurch.com. Now, here's Pastor Letzring.
For the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:9. Welcome to What Saith the Scripture, the radio voice of the Orlando Bible Church. I am Pastor Scott Letzring, and it's a joy to be with you, dear people, this Saturday afternoon. We appreciate you choosing to tune into today's message, today's broadcast. And so, as you're probably familiar with the program, and in case you're not, we want to remind you that we are a live program. That means you can participate with us. You might have a Bible question or a comment. We would love to hear from you. The phone number to the radio station is 7-682-9595. Again, that number is 407-682-9595. Now, before we get started today, let me just remind you a little bit about Orlando Bible Church. Again, this is a ministry of the Orlando Bible Church. We are grateful and thankful for WTLN and allowing us to purchase our airtime. And so we give people the Word of God. We give the listeners what the Bible says. Thus the name of the program, What Saith the Scripture. The church is located at 4405 East Colonial Drive in Orlando, Florida. And our church's phone number is 407-894-0208. And we encourage you to visit our website, OrlandoBibleChurch.com. Again, that's www.OrlandoBibleChurch.com. And there you'll find our church's phone number, what I just gave, the address, our service times, and you'll also find there what we believe, of course, the statement of faith and even past or previous ministries from the pulpit, as well as some previous radio ministries here from the station here from weeks past. So we invite you to our church's website, OrlandoBibleChurch.com. But for the program today, again, a live program, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a Bible question or a comment or just want to sit back and listen, that's okay too. The phone number again is 407-682-9595. Yule will not be with us here for the next 2 or 3 weeks, and so we wish him well. Everything's well there. He just has other obligations here on the next 3 weekends. So, again, we invite you to join us. The number here is 407-682-9595. Now, friends, last week, you may recall, we started a study on the importance of spiritual growth in the life of the Christian, the importance of spiritual growth in the life of a believer. Now, obviously, if somebody is listening to the program that's never been born again, the message we have for you is quite a bit different, and that is, by God's grace, you need to be born again. And we know the Word of God teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And since everybody is guilty before God, in other words, we all have transgressed the holy law of God, therefore we are guilty, then we must be born again. We must receive the righteousness of Christ. And the way that's done is not through trying to keep the law, not through our good efforts or our good merits. It's not through works. It's not through some religious system. No, friends, it's through Jesus Christ alone and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. You see, friends, Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of mankind. In other words, he paid the penalty of all of mankind's sin. He indeed is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And so provision has been made for whosoever will. Now, God does not force anybody to be saved. Of course, a very familiar verse, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so that's a wonderful message. That's the good news. The gospel, again, is that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And so that's the message to anyone listening today that might be religious but lost. We pray to our wonderful Lord and Savior that you would be born again for Christ's sake. But again, the primary purpose for this message is in regards to those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are truly saved, again, by grace through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that is the importance, the necessity of spiritual growth in the life of the believer. Let's start by taking our Bibles, friends, and going to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. Again, the phone number here at the radio station, if you have a question and you'd like to give us a call, the number is 407-682-9595. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writing here under inspiration in verse 28, he says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, who are the called according to his purpose." And then a couple of verses, actually just the next verse, verse 29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow," and God foreknows all things, it says, "he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he," referring to Christ, "might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now, when it says here, verse 29, that God did predestinate, notice what it is that God predestinated. He chose beforehand, or he predestinated, what? Those who are called, in other words, those who would be saved, to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so there's no doubt about that, child of God, that that is going to take place by the grace of God. Now, that work of being conformed to the image of Christ, it won't be complete in this lifetime. In other words, it won't be complete on this side of glory. But when we are with Christ, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that wonderful process of sanctification will reach completion, will be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. But we know that the moment we were saved, it is God's will for us to continually be conformed to the image of Christ. And so we have a responsibility. We realize it's not we ourselves who do the work. It's God in us. It's the Lord's power. It's the wonderful grace of God, which enables us to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. But we do have a responsibility of surrendering and submitting and yielding and obeying and different things like that. So we see that it is God's will. It's what's going to happen to those who have been born again. Paul says this way to the believers at Philippi, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." The day of Jesus Christ refers to the glorious return of Christ, the rapture, the blessed hope. And we are praying, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." And if you would now, though, take your Bibles and go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. You see, we see the necessity of spiritual growth in the life of the Christian. Number one, God commands us. It's a direct charge from our wonderful Lord himself. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, Paul is writing to believers. The context here, he's writing a letter to the believers at the local church at Ephesus. And he says in the fourth chapter, let me just state this up front, beloved. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, the first half of this letter written to the saints at Ephesus, deals much with what we call positional truths. In other words, the believer's perfect position in Christ. There are many blessed spiritual or positional truths concerning our perfect standing in Christ addressed in Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3. And then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, the second half of this inspired letter written to the saints at Ephesus, Paul now makes application. He is applying the reality of these wonderful positional truths. In other words, we stand complete in him. We are blessed in heavenly places through Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus, and all the spiritual blessings that we have, again, through our wonderful Savior. Now he says, this must be lived out practically. So chapters 4, 5, and 6 deal primarily with the practical walk in the life of the Christian. And so in chapter 4, verse 17, he is going to briefly remind the believers of who we were before we were in Christ, before we were saved. And he, again, draws a comparison to those even Gentiles in the context, referring to those who know not Christ, and how they live, how they walk, and how we as believers are no longer to walk or to conduct ourselves in that like manner. Now again, Paul is not talking about how to be saved here. He's not dealing with how to keep our salvation. No, that's already settled. He's dealing with how we as born-again believers, having been bought with a price, now as a new creature in Christ, how we're to conduct ourselves, how we're to live our life. And so he says in chapter 4, verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." And then he gives some other characteristics, some other descriptions. "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Verse 19 says, "Who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness." Lasciviousness simply means unbridled or uncontrolled lusts. "To work all uncleanness with greediness." Okay? And then look at verse 20, or at least listen to it if you can't actually look at it. Ephesians 4, verse 20 says, "But ye have not learned Christ." Again, he's talking to Christians. He says, you know that this is not what you have learned in your growth in Christ, your new life in Christ, and your spiritual progress. You haven't learned this in Christ. Verse 21, he says, "If so be that ye have heard him," referring to Christ, "and have been taught by him," again referring to Christ, "as the truth is in Jesus." And so here's the instruction, here's the charge, or we could say here's the command. Verse 22, "That ye," the ye referring to Christians, "that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man." Now, conversation, this word means simply manner of life or behavior, conduct. Old English, and that's what the word means. And so what is Paul saying to Christians? That we have a responsibility we must put off. It's a commandment from God. We have a continual responsibility, requirement, we could say, before the Lord in this life as a Christian to daily put off that old man, put off the conversation, the deeds, as we'll see in Colossians, the evil works of that old man. We're to put those things off. Notice it says concerning that old man, which the old man there, simply friends, is the sin nature, the fallen sin nature. You see, we all are born physically into this world with Adam's sin nature. And so in that sense, we are sinners by nature. We can't blame Adam, can we? Because we're also sinners by choice. And so that's why we must be born again. And when one is, when one puts their faith in Jesus Christ, having recognized their lost condition, having that change of mind through the faithful ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, when one, by the grace of God, believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved, then they receive a new nature. They're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But what happens to that old sin nature? Well, it's still there, at least in this lifetime. Now, we won't have it into eternity, praise God, but the presence of sin still is in every believer. We have that old man. And so we must realize that. We must remember that. And also, friends, we must clearly understand that this old man, this sin nature, verse 22, Ephesians 4, is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. It cannot be conformed. It cannot be changed. It cannot be improved. It must be put off. And it must continually be put off. Again, not dealing with salvation, but dealing with sanctification. In other words, spiritual growth. And then he says, verse 23, he says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." To be renewed means to make new. It means to, it's a sense of renovation. And notice it's in the spirit of your mind. And that's where it starts, beloved. Okay, that's verse 24 says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness." What a contrast. The old man, the fallen sin nature, it is corrupt. It can do no good. But the new man is created in Christ Jesus in true holiness. In other words, the new man can't sin. Now, understand what I said and what I didn't say. I didn't say believers can't sin. I said the new nature cannot sin. In fact, John told us in 1 John chapter 1, if we say, believers that is, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Believers are never to say that because the fact is we have this sin nature. And so it's a battle throughout this lifetime as Christians that we go through, this struggle of the flesh. And thank God we have victory through Christ. He's made a way of escape. It's because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that we can now walk in that newness of life. So we do indeed have victory over sin, and we no longer have the consequences of the penalty of sin, all because of Christ. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What a blessing. But we have still this old sin nature that we battle, and it is a battle. Take your Bibles, if you're turning with us, and go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And listen to what Peter says here in verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, dearly beloved, again a term of endearment to believers. Peter's writing under inspiration to Christians. He says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. And he says, abstain, and we know what abstain means. It means to stay away from. Abstain from fleshly lust. What's he talking about? That sin nature. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. You see, the sin nature, the fallen sin nature, is one of the three main enemies of the believer. You have the flesh, you have the world system, and you have, of course, the devil. And this enemy is one that abides within us as Christians. And it is warring. It's setting up an embattlement. It's fighting against the soul. And indeed it is. The flesh can do no good, but praise God, we don't have to give in to it. We can put off the old man and put on the new man. And it happens by the renewing of the mind, as we're going to see here as we go on in the program today. By the way, again, the phone number to reach us if you have a question is 407-682-9595. Let me give that to you again. 407-682-9595. I'm going to flip back to Ephesians 4 once again. And I want you to see just some of the practical things that Paul then addresses next. After stating in verses 23 and 24, 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, verse 25, wherefore, or we could say, on account of this, putting away lying, speaking truth with every man, with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You see, friends, this teaching is practical. It needs to be put into one's life and applied, put into practice. You see, we're not just merely to gain knowledge. Knowledge is important, as long as that knowledge is found in God's Word, rightly divided, of course. But it must be applied. You see, knowledge and wisdom aren't the same thing. We need biblical knowledge for us to grow in Christ, the Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that knowledge must be applied. That's what wisdom is. It's the application of knowledge, true spiritual wisdom, which comes, again, through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit of God. And then he has another application, verse 26, be angry and sin not. In other words, don't let your flesh overtake you and sin in this regard. By the way, it's interesting, he does say, be ye angry, and it's a commandment. And so there is such a thing as a godly anger in the spirit-filled sense, but he says, sin not. In other words, don't let it be a carnal anger. Don't let it be after this world system. And remember this, Christian. The Word of God says that that the wrath of man, get this right here, in James, the Word of God says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Keep that in mind. Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. And then he goes on and gives further instructions. But in verse 30, he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. And so you see, Christians, when we don't put off the old man and put on the new man, we are grieving God, the Holy Spirit. Thank God there is forgiveness for failure. If we sin, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. Friends, it looks like we do have a caller, one of our familiar callers. Is that Lynette?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Lynette. Welcome to What Saith the Scripture. How are you doing, and how can we help you today?
Oh, I was just telling you something. thank you. Another year has gone, and another year has stepped in, and I thank you for being there for me all these years. I don't remember how many years, but I'm still here, and I'm grateful to you for making me so wiser.
Bless your heart. Well, that's very...
words that I don't understand.
Sure. Well, that's very sweet of you, Lynette. And we are grateful for you as well. And we thank God for you and for your family. And we are thankful, as in case you didn't weren't able to understand, Lynette, listeners, she was thanking the Lord for another new year. And she was thanking the Lord for the way that God is working through this program and the way he's working in her life. And to God be the glory. And that's what he does, Lynette. He continues to teach us. And we thank him, don't we? We thank him for that. And it's a blessing to be a tool, a vessel used for his honor and for his glory. But it's God who receives all the glory. So bless your heart. We appreciate you, and like I said, your family as well. And we continue to pray for you. Okay.
Yes, and New Year stepped in, and I'm not feeling well.
Yes.
I'm not feeling well these days, but I know God is able, and what I want to ask you in these words are spoken, if we say we don't have any sins, we deceive ourselves.
Okay.
The truth is not in us. So all those words were spoken to.
Okay, so I think...
Another thing is that we have all things that come short of the glory of God.
Okay.
But there are some people say that they don't have any sin because they are a Christian and Jesus has paid it all. They are not a sinner, they don't have any sin.
Right. All right.
Is that right?
I think I got your question. Let me just make sure. You're asking the verse we just referred to in 1 John chapter 1, where it says there, if we... say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The first question was, to whom is that written? And the answer to that, Lynette, is it's written to believers. And I think the second part of what you said is that there are some who claim to be believers, but they say that they have no sin because they're Christians. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, that's not right, though, as far as your question, meaning that's not true. Again, 1 John chapter 1, written to Christians, makes it very clear that we as believers still have this sin nature, and so we still struggle with sin. Now, that's not an excuse to give in to our sin nature. Understand that. But the fact is, we still, in this lifetime, have this sin nature, and it, like we've already said in the program today, it's a continual spiritual battle. And there are those, you're right, there are those that teach that it's possible. There are some professing Christians that actually claim that it's possible to reach sinless perfection on this side of glory. And that's not scriptural. That's not true. And we know that's not true because, number one, 1 John chapter 1 tells us it's not true. Another passage, Paul, the Apostle Paul, said the same thing. He said in Philippians chapter 3, listen to this, Lynette. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, he goes, not as though I, so Paul's talking personally about himself when he's writing this to the saints at Philippi. He says, not as though as I had already attained, and the context is achieving or laying hold of Christ-likeness, okay? So understand that. And so in that regard, he says, I've not reached Christ-likeness. He says, either we're already perfect, but what does he say? But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, or I may lay hold of, again, speaking of Christ-likeness, for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And so verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Again, that means he counts himself not to have laid hold to this perfection in Christ. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so, Lynette, and there's other scriptures we could turn to, the Bible is very clear that we as believers have a sin nature, and we as believers, thank God, have victory over that nature through Christ, through the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, but It is something we will battle with until we go to be with the Lord. And so the Bible makes that very clear. So we appreciate your call and your question. We hope that that helps you there. And I think knowing you, you probably already knew that, but you're maybe trying to help somebody else that you've spoken to. So we will trust the Lord for that, Lynette, and we appreciate you, okay? And remember this. I want to share with you something unrelated to your question, but I just simply want to encourage you, okay? You're going through, I know you've been going through various illnesses and such, but dear friend, remember this. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, "For which cause," and he's talking about the glory of God, okay? So keep that in mind. "For which cause," meaning God's glory, "we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." He goes on to say in verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And so bless your heart, remember that. Keep your eyes on Christ, because it's this body that we all have is not our permanent body. Thank God. There's a day coming when we're going to receive a glorified body. All right, my dear friend. We appreciate your phone call. God bless you. And Lord willing, we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you later. And the phone number, friends, to reach us here, if you have a question or a comment, is 407-682-9595. 407-682-9595. And so here we come back to our study, the importance, the necessity of spiritual growth in the life of the believer. And we were just looking at Ephesians chapter 4. We saw clearly that one reason why we need to do this is because God has told us to do it. It's what God has said is for us today. It's what we need to do. It's what is well-pleasing to Him. And again, as Christians, as children of God, we certainly want to obey our Heavenly Father. We want to live a life that's well-pleasing to Him. Again, to be very clear, He's not talking on the topic of how we get saved or how we stay saved. No, He's talking about the topic of spiritual growth, being conformed to the image of Christ, growing in Christ, we could say. The topic being that of sanctification, not that of justification. Again, the phone number to reach us, if you have a question, is 407-682-9595. And so another thing we saw there clearly in Ephesians chapter 4 is that we still have this propensity to sin. That's why we must put off the old man and put on the new man. It's a battle. And Christians, if our sin nature is left unchecked, it is a guarantee that we as believers are going to only wander further and further away from the perfect will of God and from fellowship. Again, we're not talking salvation, just to be clear. But that personal walk with Christ, it's so important. It's so vitally important. Let's take our Bibles this time and turn to 2 Peter. In fact, while we turn to Peter, let's take a quick stop at 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll get to 2 Peter chapter 1 in just a moment, but let's look first at 1 Peter chapter number 2. We want to look at the first two verses. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what Peter says here. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." And so what's Peter saying? In essence, the same thing that Paul was saying, the same principle. The necessity of laying off, of putting aside the old deeds of the old man. And he named some of those things: malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, envies is jealousies, evil speakings, or blasphemies, we could say. And in contrast to that, having put those things aside as newborn babes, in other words, being believers in Christ, what must we do? We must desire the sincere milk of the word. And how do we grow as Christians? Only one way: through the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's true of salvation, but that's also true of spiritual growth in the life of the Christian. And so now let's go to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. In a Bible study that we had earlier this week with a few people, we looked at this passage, 2 Peter chapter number 2. I'm sorry, chapter 1. Get it right here. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And Peter's talking about this theme as well, the importance of growing in Christ. In fact, 2 Peter, ultimately, that's what it's about. It's about growing in Christ-likeness. The last verse of this second letter that Peter wrote under inspiration says, part of the verse says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. But here in 2 Peter chapter 1, look at what he says. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. He goes on to say in verse 6, and to knowledge temperance. Temperance means self-control. And to temperance patience. And to patience godliness. Verse 7 he says, and to godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness charity. Charity is love. Agape love. Now, what's he saying? He's writing again to Christians. We know that from what was said earlier. And he's explaining to believers that, guys, we have a responsibility. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a spiritual responsibility, and he says, giving all diligence. There's a responsibility to add to your faith virtue. What's he talking about? Spiritual growth. And why do we want to grow spiritually? It's so that we can bear much fruit for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're following along in your Bibles, I'd ask you to hold your place here in 2 Peter chapter 1, and just flip back quickly to John chapter 15. Let's look at the words of our Savior. By the way, I want to remind you that Peter was one of the 11 disciples present here in John 15. You say, I thought there was 12 disciples. Well, there were 12 disciples, but remember Judas Iscariot, number one, he wasn't a true believer, not because he didn't have an opportunity. He certainly did, but he had rejected Christ. But the reason we say 11 disciples is because in the context, back in chapter 13 of the Gospel of John is when during the Last Supper is when Judas left to begin the process of carrying out his evil betraying plot of the Lord Jesus Christ, which would happen later this evening. John 15 is the night before the crucifixion of Christ. It's the night of the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyways, before that, as Christ and the disciples in the upper room, and then eventually making their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and that would be where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be arrested by the Roman soldiers. And ultimately, it's because he submitted to that. Christ allowed himself to be put in such a situation because he was fulfilling the will of his Father. Remember, the Bible says that Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But anyways, here in John chapter 15, notice what he's teaching these disciples and thereby teaching us, as this is part of God's perfect word. John chapter 15, he says in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Verse 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. What's he talking about? He's talking about walking in fellowship. And notice he says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, he says, I am the vine. Second time he said that. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then he says this, Christian, for without me ye can do nothing. You see that? Without Christ, we can do nothing. If we do not walk in fellowship with our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we cannot bear much fruit for him and for the Father's glory. Down in verse 8, he says the Father's glory. At least he has that in mind here. He says, herein is my Father glorified. Well, how is God the Father glorified? That ye, Christian, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And so what a wonderful lesson here that Christ gives. And so let's go back now to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. The Lord taught Peter among the other, along with the other disciples there in John chapter number 15, the necessity of abiding in him. Again, that word abide means to continue, to remain, to dwell, to abide. It means simply in the context to continue in fellowship. And that's what we have here in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. It's the growing in Christ. By the way, when you're in fellowship with Christ, guess what, Christian? You're going to be growing in Christ. The two go together. The two go hand in hand. And notice the result, verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1. For if these things be in you, what things? Well, the things he just mentioned in verses 5, 6, and 7. How we're to give diligence, to add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. If these things be in you and abound, so not only just in you in a stagnant sense, no, but abounding. It's in the present tense. These things are growing. These things are abounding in you because you're growing in Christ. So if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Peter doesn't say they will make you to never sin again. No, it says they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. In other words, you're going to bear fruit for the glory of Christ. But then he goes on to say, verse 9, a warning, as it were. Again, to believers. We can't now change the context and say, okay, he was writing to believers, but now he's writing to an unbeliever. But no, he's still writing to a Christian. And he says in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Again, this is a believer he's talking to. He's talking about the backsliding believer. And notice the clear warnings. And so, simply put, we see the responsibility that we have as Christians in this topic of spiritual growth. Again, it's commanded by God. And we must admit and recall and recognize that we have this sin nature. We can't be deceived in thinking that, well, it's no big deal. No, if it goes unchecked, we're not abiding in Christ, then of course we are going to be backsliding. We're not going to be fulfilling the will of God in our lives. And so we must, by the grace of God, be willing to surrender. Now, I want to remind you of something very, very, very important. Go with me if you're able to, again, turn in the Bible, turn in the Scriptures with us to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We see in these two verses that we're going to look at, verses 12 and 13, we see personal responsibility in the life of the believer, but we also see how it actually is accomplished. In other words, where does the power or the ability come from? Because the worst thing I would want to do today is to somehow communicate that this power or ability to live a life that's well-pleasing to Christ is found within ourselves, because it is not. Just as Christ said to us there in John 15, that without him we can do nothing. By the way, thinking of Philippians, we're going to look at chapter 2 here, these two verses, verses 12 and 13, as I had just said. But how about Philippians 4:13? Many of you probably even memorized it. Philippians 4:13. Maybe you don't know the reference, but you just know the verse. By the way, I would encourage you, memorize the references as well, because then it's just important. You'll know where to turn if you needed to show it to somebody. But the verse, of course, in Philippians 4:13 is that, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And in the Greek, it's in the present tense. Literally, it means I can do, as a believer, I can do all things through Christ who continually strengthens me. Present tense. This is what Christ is doing. What a blessing that is. And so, listen to what we read in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. In other words, Paul is saying to these Christians at Philippi, don't just do right when I'm with you, do right when I'm not with you. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that fear and trembling is before, of course, our wonderful Lord. It's a godly fear. Notice he doesn't say work for your salvation. He says work out your own salvation. And it's their own salvation. In other words, they already have that salvation. Salvation is a gift of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But he's talking about, again, the working out of one's salvation because we are saved. Ephesians 2:10 goes on to say, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God had before ordained that we should walk in them. And so Paul, in essence, in principle, is saying a similar thing here. work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then he reminds them in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Always remember that. It's not we ourselves that accomplish God's will in the life of in our lives as Christians. It's God who works in us. And what a comfort that is. Another verse comes to mind. "Faithful is he who calleth you, who will also do it." And so don't think that there's some great power within yourself to be able to accomplish this. It's not us, beloved. We know that. It's Christ in us. We must always, always keep that in our mind and in the forefront of our minds and rely on his strength. And so now as we continue in the study of this afternoon, the vitality, the necessity of growing in Christ, spiritual growth in the life of the Christian, that one of the things we see repeated throughout Scripture is the importance of having our minds renewed. We already saw that back in Colossians, didn't we? I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 4, the renewing of our minds. Let's go to another passage of Scripture, and let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. If you have a question, we have about just under 18 minutes left in today's program. Give us a call at 407-682-9595. Again, that number is 682-9595. In Romans 12, Paul, writing to believers, he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren," this is verse 1, "by the mercies of God." Oh, aren't you thankful for God's mercies? You know, Isaiah said, I'm not Isaiah, but Jeremiah. Jeremiah said in the book of Lamentations, there in the Old Testament, hundreds of years, by the way, before the birth of Christ, he said there in chapter 3 of Lamentations, he says, "If it were not for the mercies of God, we would all be consumed." And that's true. When you think about God's mercy, think about God withholding that which we deserve. In other words, his wrath. That's at least one aspect of it. Grace is kind of the picture from the other side. It's God giving to us that which we don't deserve. God's kindness, God's favor, which is not earned, just as God's mercy is not earned or received because of what we do or because of what we deserve. No, it's truly from God. And so Paul, writing to Christians, those who've already been saved, he reminds them that it's also of God's mercies that they're going to be able to do what he's about to tell them. It's by or through the mercies of God. And so Jeremiah said there in Lamentations 3 that if it were not for the mercies of God, we'd all be consumed. And then he said this in the next verse, "But his mercies are new every morning." Christian, remember that. God's mercies are new every morning. You might say, "Oh, Pastor Scott, I mean, I've had a rough day today or a rough week or a rough year, and it just seems to keep getting worse. I mean, why does this happen and that happen?" Remember, take your eyes off of yourself. Take your eyes off of your circumstances and put them back on Christ, looking away from the sin that does so easily beset us and that weight which, again, weighs us down. That you see that there in Hebrews 12. And then Hebrews 12 goes on to say, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, consider him," verse 3 goes on to say, referring to Jesus Christ. In other words, keep your eyes on Christ, not on your circumstances. And the Word of God reminds us time and time again that God's mercies are new every morning. And then it goes on to say, "Great is his faithfulness." Keep that in mind. Great is his faithfulness. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 13. We're going to finish reading Romans 12, 1, and then verse 2. In just a moment. But Paul says it this way to the saints at Corinth. He says, let me get it right here. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." What a Savior. What a Lord we have. What a great Shepherd we have, Christian. He is the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. And that is a wonderful, wonderful truth, and we must remember that. And so Paul says here, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present or yield your bodies a living sacrifice." Holy. That word simply means set apart. Set apart unto the Lord, friends. Set apart from sin, from compromise, from anything contrary to Jesus Christ and to his word. "That ye present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto God. That means well-pleasing unto God. And then it says this, which is your reasonable service. You know, it's interesting, from the Greek, this word translated in our English Bibles, reasonable, it's where we get the word logic. Interesting. It's our logical service as believers to present our bodies a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable or well-pleasing to God. Well, why is it our logical service? Well, think about it. We know other scriptures say this, like this one in 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us. It compels us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Is it not our logical service, Christians, to live for the one who's purchased us for his own possession? The one who's bought us with the price of his precious blood? Of course, it's our logical service. And so we must yield ourselves. We must present our bodies a living sacrifice. It's our reasonable service. But now in verse 2, remember we're looking at this word renew. Sometimes it might be difficult to follow along with me because I get off on different rabbit trails. But so, in spite of me, sometimes I hope you can still, again, tag along. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world. You see, there's something that will hinder us from properly presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. A holy sacrifice, a well-pleasing sacrifice unto God. There's something that thwarts that process, that wonderful privilege and responsibility that we have as Christians, something that hinders it. And what is it? Well, one thing is what Paul says next here. It's by being conformed to this world system. In other words, being put into the mold of the philosophies of this world system. And that will always get us off track as believers. That will always stunt our spiritual growth every single time. John says it this way in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of this world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And so we must not be conformed. We must not put into the mold or follow the schematics of this world system. Don't think like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't be like the world. It's, by the way, what our old nature loves. Our flesh is greatly desiring to follow this world. But the new man is not. And remember, Christian, we are no longer of this world. Christ has saved us from this world. We now belong to Christ. We're new creatures in Christ. The Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the word transform means a work from the inside out. If I were to pronounce to you the Greek word, you would, I think, hear a very familiar English word. And the English word is metamorphosis. And you think of that process of metamorphosis of that caterpillar and how it transforms into what? A beautiful butterfly. That caterpillar with all those legs, some people might look at a caterpillar and be creeped out and say, oh, that's gross. I don't want it to touch me. Of course, we realize that caterpillars are, some of them are poisonous. You don't want to touch them. But with that said, it turns into this beautiful butterfly. Gorgeous. And it's neat how our wonderful Creator did that, isn't it? It's a beautiful picture of this transforming process spiritually in our lives as Christians. The way that Scott Lettering, how it's made into a new creature, it's being conformed to the image of Christ, and we're trophies of God's grace. Amazing, beautiful picture. But notice the importance, the necessity of being renewed in our minds. And how does that happen? We're not going to have time to fully develop this on today's program. We will, as the Lord tarries, go into this next week. But how does that happen? It's as we spend time in the Word of God. In fact, in Lynette's phone call, I read a verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. One of the verses I read is how that though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed, same word here, renewed day by day. And how does that happen? It's when we spend time in studying of the Word of God. It's when we spend time reading our Bibles, studying our Bibles, meditating upon God's Word, even memorizing God's Word, and spending time in prayer. Again, prayer is how we talk to God. Reading God's Word is how God talks to us. We have God's complete canon of Scripture. God is not talking to us through dreams and visions today, contrary to what many are saying and claiming and professing Christendom. Beware of that. No, Jesus Christ himself said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In fact, I missed the first part of that quote in Matthew chapter 4, and it's very important. I want to go back and again, try that again. Because Christ didn't start off by saying, man should not live by bread alone. You know what he said first? He says, as it is written. He's quoting from the Old Testament, from the law of Moses. He says, as it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so, Christian, we must continue in the Scriptures if we're going to ever grow properly, because that's how our minds are renewed. Now, we mentioned this last week. I want to mention it quickly again. In Isaiah chapter 55, in verse number 8 and then verse 9, listen to these verses. Isaiah, the prophet, states this. Now, we realize this is actually the Lord speaking through the prophet. And in verse 8, he says, for my thoughts, speaking of the Lord Jehovah, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. In other words, man's thoughts. Neither your ways, man's ways, my ways, saith the Lord. So, in other words, man's thoughts and ways are not God's thoughts and ways. Verse 9, the Lord goes on to say, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, God's ways, higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So, of course, we need, as believers, we need our minds continually, day by day, renewed. And thank God, just as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, the very last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we have the mind of Christ, which is the Scriptures. And so there Paul says that, but we have the mind of Christ, the closing of verse 16 in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And so let me simply ask you, Christian, we are the last day of this week that we're in. We're, today is January the 19th, tomorrow's the 20th, the first day of the week. By the way, I wanted to say this, too. If you are looking for a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, we would love to have you join us. Again, go to our church's website, OrlandoBibleChurch.com, and you'll find all the details there, the address, the service times. If you're looking for a Bible-believing church to attend, we'd love to have you and your family. Again, the church's phone number, not the radio station, but the church's phone number, if you don't have a computer or have access to a computer, let me give that to you again. It's 407-894-0208. Again, that's 894-0208. And you can call me after the program and be happy to talk with you and give you the address, service times, and just answer any questions that you might have, again, as the Lord leads. And if you have a Bible-believing church that you're attending, praise God. And we know that's God's will. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the Word of God says, because the Lord uses that time to mature his saints, to perfect or mend his saints, so that the saints can do the work of the ministry, and so that the body as a whole, again, is built up or edified. That's God's will. That's what he's doing. What a blessed truth that is. And we must, though, spend time in God's Word. And so the question is this. How much time have you spent this week in the Word of God? And are you, by God's grace, are you putting it into action? Are you applying it? Or are you merely a hearer of the Word, like James says, but not a doer of the Word? By God's grace, may we not only hear the Word, but may we obey it. May we surrender and submit to it. That's the only way that we as Christians can properly grow in Christ Jesus. The importance of rightly dividing the Word of truth. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. The Word of truth refers to the Scriptures. Rightly dividing means simply to make a straight cut. A lot of people today, they do a lot of Bible teaching, but they're not rightly dividing the Bible. They're wrongly dividing it. They're not making proper divisions. There are those that make extreme divisions. Again, it's not a straight cut. But by God's grace, we want to be in the center of His perfect will. Well, friends, we're going to take a quick break here as we're nearing the end of the program. And as our habit is. We want to share with you some godly music. Again, this is courtesy of the Herbster Evangelistic Team. We have permission from Mark Herbster himself to play his CDs, and they were given to us as a gift, and we thank the Lord for that. And this particular song is titled Glorious and Indescribable, referring to our wonderful Lord. So stay with us. We'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Stars in their heavenly glory, who measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, who rules in power over all our creation and formed the universe at his command. Glory has Ancient of days, Jesus, Savior, reign forever. You alone are worthy of praise. Who paid the price for our sins now and forever? Who suffered in anguish and died on Calvary? From the grave and with his mighty power conquered death and won the victory. Glorious, indescribable, great and marvelous, ancient of days, Jesus, Savior, reign forever.
Amen. Welcome back to What Saith the Scripture. And again, we thank Mark Herbster for the allowance, permission to play that wonderful CD. Friends, we appreciated our time with you this afternoon, and we remind you to join us again next week. And we also want to remind you that today's broadcast will be rebroadcasted on WTLN at 10 p.m. Tonight by the graciousness of WTLN. As we close, listen to these scriptures. 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says, He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. God bless you. Join us again next week.
If you have been blessed by our time in the Word of God today, we'd like to hear from you. The church is located just east of the Orlando Fashion Square Mall at 4405 East Colonial Drive in Orlando, Florida. The church's phone number is area code 407-894-0208. If you are attending a church that is a member of the National or World Council of Churches or is identified with the New Evangelical Movement, we admonish you to obey the clear command of Scripture and come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, saith the Lord. Join with a Bible-believing church for the Word of God.